a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, welcome along. It's another Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. And we're all gathered here, ready to bring you another award-winning podcast. Our shelves are groaning with the awards that we've won.
Oh, okay. So many awards.
So many of them.
So confused for
have
a while.
Have you not noticed?
Yeah, I have seen the best podcast.
Best podcast award.
Ever, obviously.
Most listened to in the whole world.
In the UK.
Universe.
Best all of supporting those podcast. All of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's supporting podcast.
Yes.
Best supporting podcast?
Yes, best supporting podcast. That's what we've won. Very good.
What are we supporting?
I'm just happy to be nominated.
Greatest Hits Radio.
I'd like to thank the Academy. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, Sister Susie's here.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt's in the gutter.
Yeah.
Sister Holly is draped.
Always draped.
Over the tack cupboard.
I like you saying that, mainly for Matt's facial expressions every time you say it.
I don't see it. What's his facial expression?
He's just sort of grimacing. He's like, cringing.
Like he's sucked a lemon.
Yeah.
Is it the thought of Holly Draper?
No, it's absolutely.
It is. I think it is.
Anyway, that's suddenly gone very red.
Now we've got eyes bolting.
Moving on.
We'll be stopping at the parish notice board, where Matt can talk about himself, which is about the subject.
And
the not-for-broadcast section, all the confessions that made it onto the Drive Time show this week, including Al's mum's circus catastrophe, oh, this is the greatest show, Tim's bath time adventure, Splish Splash, I was taking a bath, or bath, I suppose, to make it rhyme, Mick's confession, the stopping drives me mad. But we start with Jamie and Sarah's eye-opening confession, don't look, Ethel!
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Jamie and Sarah. Okay. I suppose a little bit of a PG vibe going on here. Mm. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. My confession takes us back to, mind you, if you heard the fact that it's called Don't Look Ethel and you remember the Ray Stevens song, you'll know where we're heading.
Okay.
My confession takes us back to when wife Sarah and I were driving through the countryside following a sat-nav that had clearly become as lost as we were. The little car crept along the narrow country lane, hedges pressing in from both sides like they were trying to squeeze the vehicle back out the way it came. The sat-nav had long given up any meaningful guidance and was now just showing a tiny arrow floating hopelessly in a sea of green. We've all had that moment where it's clearly given up the ghost. And then we spotted a group of ramblers ahead. Now, first I assumed that they were an ordinary walking group, and then second glass confirmed that they were a very relaxed walking group. In fact, naturist ramblers.
Wow.
A full pack of them. Boots on, socks on, everything else, not so much. Don't look, Sarah, I said. I'm not looking, she replied, while obviously looking.
Yeah.
There were at least a dozen of these naturist ramblers. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Rambling.
Wow.
Good luck to them.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, they were chatting cheerfully, completely at ease with themselves, the countryside and life. And also, apparently, the concept of trousers being entirely optional. Mm. The lane was far too narrow to turn around, so our only option was to continue forwards at a crawl and to squeeze past. Right, I thought, we'll just gently sneak our way along here. Hope we don't scrape anyone.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
The ramblers kindly began to move aside to let us pass. Unfortunately, aside meant stepping directly into the hedgerows. The first gentleman confidently stepped backwards and immediately jumped forwards again. Another rambler stepped back confidently, then immediately he leapt forward again. Oof nettles, he yelped, hopping about with surprising agility, jumping around and jiggling in the breeze. Sarah clapped a hand over her mouth. She's my partner, you remember?
Yeah, we got that.
Oh no, that's awful, she said. Mm. Yes, I said, that's why we invented trousers.
Correct.
Channeling his inner Matt. Anyway, sadly, the warning came too late. One after another, members of the group attempted to squeeze into the hedgerow and were met with the same prickly resistance. There was a chorus of startled yelps, awkward dancing and hurried repositioning as they tried very hard to avoid further botanical surprises. Mind the hedge! Careful, not there! Definitely not there! Don't turn around!
Oh, no. Don't turn around.
A hit for Aswad, of course,
yes,
but that's,
of course.
Not what they were that's not what they were thinking. The lane quickly became a chaotic corridor of hurried sidestepping, polite smiles and rather desperate attempts to keep a safe distance from the stinging greenery. Delicate, unprotected areas remain delicate and very unprotected. This, of course, was not my fault. Morning, one of them said brightly, as if nothing at all was unusual. Lovely day for a walk, said another, whilst inching sideways like a crab. Yes, I replied, unconvinced. Perfect weather for a drive. Meanwhile, Sarah was biting a lip and studying the dashboard with intense concentration. Yeah. Don't look, Sarah, I repeated. I'm trying not to, she said, unsuccessfully suppressing a laugh. The car edged forward inch by careful inch through what felt like the most awkward gauntlet in British motoring history. Yeah. Every now and then came another sharp intake of breath from the hedge as someone discovered a patch of nettles that they hadn't previously negotiated. Normally, I would just have been worried about running over toes, but now there were other areas of concern.
Oh, boy.
Finally, mercifully, the last rambler was behind us. We accelerated as if escaping the scene of a very peculiar crime. The moment the last rambler disappeared from view, Sarah burst into laughter. I told you not to take the shortcut, she said. Here we go, so it's a traditional argument now.
Yeah.
Sat-nav. But I could only agree. From now on, I said firmly, we stick to A roads, motorways, anywhere with signs and fences, and, said Sarah, people wearing clothes. So, Father Simon, thank you for indulging what may have been the most awkward detour of our lives. To the ramblers concerned, I must ask forgiveness for inadvertently contributing to what must have been a rather prickly morning. We do hope the ramblers in question recovered quickly and that any lingering stings, physical or otherwise, have faded with time. Please know we never intended to interrupt their walk nor to contribute to what must have been a rather prickly... I think you've used that word slightly too much.
Yeah.
We've since learned two valuable lessons. Never trust a sat-nav over common sense and always approach hedgerows with caution. Properly dressed or otherwise. I mean, I can see we've been here before and I can see the attraction of swimming, maybe. Matt's looking.
What?
Well, what I mean is I can see, but I can't see the attraction.
Oh, skinny dipping.
Yeah, but I can't really see the attraction of going for a hike through the countryside using a public road and just wearing boots and socks. Anyway, Sister Susie, what are you saying?
Well, it, kind of each to their own, maybe. I don't understand it, because what if you fell over and then that? Would you just be scrapes and everything everywhere? And, you know, there's like holly bushes and prickles that they need to worry about, as well as nettles. But it made me laugh, and also it just made me laugh at how uncomfortable Matt was imagining the whole thing. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I once again find myself at odds with the with our nudist cousins, because who goes hiking in the altogether with all the brambles? Why would you go near the bramble? Why aren't you just in a field? Or even better, wearing clothes.
Was it a little continental for you?
It's far too continental for my taste. Even the continentals aren't doing that, are they?
I mean,
my goodness me. And you've got to squeeze up against the nettles. So, yes, I'm going to forgive. You shouldn't have been in the first place. Shouldn't have been going down a narrow alley with your... everything out. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
All right.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
And don't take your clothes off at work and have a shower.
Yeah.
What
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm the sole person standing in the way of all of this.
What?
Licentiousness.
I think you were more uncomfortable than the naked ramblers.
Yeah.
The naked ramblers.
Well, the naked ramblers, yeah, they're not uncomfortable at all.
Not at
they're
all,
happy. Aren't
that's
they?
Actually part of the problem is that they don't have any sense of awkwardness.
Well, they did get a stinging nettle up the jacksies, so that would that would make
true.
Them uncomfortable.
That is absolutely true. Yes, they
the
did.
Yeah.
We could have a series of confessions to make Matt feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, we haven't tried very hard.
Really pleased.
Goodness me. No.
If you have one.
Yeah.
Send it in. Anyway, complete forgiveness on the people's verdict, including this one, where Matt's voice took a rather strange turn again.
But Anonymous says, forgiven. As a naturist rambler myself, I just put up with the occasional discomfort. I don't know why I did it in that voice. Dear, oh dear. No,
very,
I just came across.
Very, very strange voice. Your naturist rambler voice.
That was... Brilliant. That was, yeah. Yes, as soon as I said the word naturist, I suddenly decided I was going down that route.
He went over there.
A naked rambler voice. Who'd have thought there was such a thing?
No.
Anyway, let's go to the parish notice board where Matt can talk about himself.
Yes,
and,
I can.
And that normally gets a whole variety of voices.
Yes, it does. And they're all 5-star reviews this week. Flapper171066. That's got to be a birthday, hasn't it? Anyway, Flapper says, still loving the podcast. 5 stars. Key up the great work, Matt for Prime Minister.
Key it up,
says Flapper 171066.
Flapper was born on the 17th of October, 1966.
I think so. I think that's who Flapper is. Good for them. Ross McColl, real name, says 5 stars, exclamation mark. Hi, everyone. Just want to say the Great Confessions podcast is fantastic. I have recently got back into this podcast. I used to listen to it back when it was there and on the way to swim when I was in my teenage years.
Now naked
I
rambler.
Use Naked Rambler. Probably not. Let's hope not. Now I use it as a nice, easy way to ease in my Fridays on the way to work. I was a fan of the Jigsaw Thief Confessions. Remember that one?
Yeah, recently.
The Jigsaw Thief. Oh, yes, the woman. The woman, from 2 weeks ago. Well done. And the teacher not doing any work. And the Hotel German was pretty good as well. Oh, there was another naked one. Goodness me. I love how Matt always thinks of way to forgive for the confessions. And Sister Holly and Susie are always sincere, but fair with their decisions.
This is another voice
nice?
Of yours.
Yeah.
Good phrase. Bust up at the bus stop. Many thanks, Ross. You can't do that at the same time, Ross. You can only do your 5-star review.
So you
and
need
then
to stick with one
code
voice.
Phrase.
Consistent.
So different, confusing.
Different parts,
well,
you see.
The code phrase was
bust up at the bus stop.
No, it was a couple of weeks ago. That wasn't last week's
That wasn't
phrase.
Last week's, Ross, either. So think about that.
Well, it probably was when he sent it.
It probably was when you sent it there, Ross.
You're so judging everything I said.
Jerry84 says, love, love, love. it's a bit Ringo Starr, that, but never mind. Fantastic podcast. 5 stars every time. Matt is amazing. And if anything, we need to hear more of him.
Oh, yes.
Imagine. And his reasoning. Oh, wow. I love this, Jerry. Total class. Love the rest of the team as well, I suppose. Keep it up.
He doesn't
Thanks,
say,
Jerry,
I suppose.
84.
You added that in there.
Yeah, he didn't
well
know.
Done.
Yeah.
I'm sure we all speak for the nation there.
Susie, you, I think, in a slightly more respectful and mature way, have selected something from your notice board.
I have selected something from my notice board. I've got an email from Beth, who is directing this email directly to Holly. Dear Holly.
Holly.
With the tack cupboard presently limited to mugs and postcards, might this be the perfect opportunity to expand the range or revive a classic? The car sticker.
Oh, car sticker.
I've put
yes.
together a few AI mock-ups to illustrate the idea. See separate streets.
Oh, right, hang on.
Imagine
second,
it, yes. not just the world's number one podcast, but a commanding presence on the nation's road too. From Beth.
So it's a weird picture of me.
It's not you. It's like AI you.
It's a rather big forehead you've got there. In
and
that
big hair,
there. Yes.
Like a huge
yes.
quiff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It says,
yeah.
I'm listening to Simon Moe's Confessions, Are You?
Are
That's
You?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, 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 very good.
And then
like
there's
that.
Another one underneath with the same bizarre looking me.
No, slightly different you this time. Your head isn't as big, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, you look a bit frowny in the second one.
Yeah.
You're sort of furrowing your brows.
Mm. I feel like that one looks more like you.
No,
than
right.
The top
what, because you look
AI.
A bit angry. And that's the
wow.
classic sign.
Anyway, and also, the quotes are sick and wrong, danger, danger, high voltage, Mark Knopfler, danger, danger again, and different times.
Yeah.
Yes. All the catchphrases.
I'm listening to Simon Mayer's Confessions.
So, what do you think, Tack Cupboard Boss?
Yeah,
stickers.
I will pass it higher up and see what they say.
Who would that be?
Who's making the decision?
It's marketing make the decision.
Well, they're
marketing,
great. Make the
decisions. Marketing again.
They're great, though.
Essentially, I think I'm speaking on behalf of Holly here. I'm not sure she'd agree. We'd love car stickers.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've got a budget for car stickers.
Because the thing is with car stickers is that they're much easier to send as well, actually, because we do sometimes have a problem with the
true.
Mugs. We do have problems
breaking,
with the mugs.
Don't they? Whoever's in charge of that.
But Mark's doing it.
That's not my fault.
Not your fault,
okay.
Tommy. Can't
for
say that
record,
enough.
For the record, if
can't
your mug arrives, it is broken. It was perfectly fine when it
left the building. It was fine when Holly packed it. Yeah.
So yes, I will ask marketing, because actually I think car stickers would be great fun.
Yes. Do people still use car stickers?
Well, it's a good question, really. I don't know. You used to back in the day.
Get stickers.
My other car's like, a Porsche and all that kind of stuff.
Lots of people put like stickers on their laptops and things, don't they?
Ooh,
so maybe a sticker for your laptop rather than a car. Or you could put it in a car.
Yeah, you could have it as both, couldn't you? You could have the sticker that works as both on the car and on the laptop.
But I thought the car sticker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's reversed,
front,
isn't it?
Sticky.
Oh, yes, that's true. Good
Rather
point, Holly.
Back,
I can see why
sticky.
Marketing has got a problem now, because there's
think
so
about
many
it.
Things going on.
It's really tough.
So many different types of stickers.
Good, well, that's sorted. Very good.
Yeah.
We'll send all this to marketing, and then they will stamp approved right across it, and that's all a lovely thing. So if you've got anything to pass on, we would like to maybe put it on the notice board or read it out if it's a confession. Send everything to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. So a few names here. Lightbound, not a proper name. Janine Moore, Phil Jones, Paul 22. We're amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, throwing up on a tight weave, for reasons that everyone has forgotten.
Yes.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase for you at the end of the podcast. Could you make it particularly memorable?
I will. I always do.
And now we dive into the confessions marked not for broadcast. And we start with you, Alice. I know it was a long time ago. Having a boyfriend cheat on you with your housemate is not very nice. But that still doesn't make it okay to do something disgusting with your toothbrush, their toothbrush, before you left. And the thing is, if there's a toothbrush, they're all the same. There is one thing that you do with the tooth. Well, actually, there are two things. And one of them is to, like, clean the sink or scrape it a bit. And the other is to...
It's something else. Yes. We've all got it in our heads.
That's right. Okay. So, Alice, even though you were annoyed, I'm not quite sure that was the right thing to do.
Yes.
And obviously we're not going to broadcast that.
No, definitely not.
And Neil, we know stag do's...
Oh, here we go.
...can get a little messy, but after... These are all the reasons why stag do's are just ridiculous.
Okay, go on.
We know stag do's can get a little messy, but after stripping the groom-to-be and cling-filming him to a pub banister for hours... You later handcuffed him to a railing at a train station and threw the keys out of the train window, leaving the police to come and rescue him.
Well, first of all,
I mean, obviously that's not tea time, but surely this kind of thing is really...
doesn't sound like fun at all.
Not fun for anyone. And then the police get involved. What could you do for waste of police time?
Do people still do that?
Well, clearly Neil does. Throwing keys out of the train window.
It feels very 80s, doesn't it? It feels very sort of... Do those things happen anymore?
Well, clearly Neil and his chum might have been from back in the day. I think he's a wrong one.
Yes.
I would not approve of someone being cling filmed to my banister in the pub.
No, absolutely. Or being stripped. Or being handcuffed to a railing at a train station.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a no from me.
Are you out?
I'm out.
Well, it's got nakedness in it.
A naked cling film.
Problems,
I don't think, was he cling film naked? I don't think we know that. But it could have been, though.
He was.
He was cling film naked.
After stripping the groom-to-be and cling filming him.
Oh, my goodness me.
Oh, no.
In the pub?
Yeah, in the pub.
No.
What kind of pub is this?
Well, I mean, it was the pub with sawdust on the floor.
Who enjoys doing that to somebody?
I don't understand. Swing doors
like in the Westerns. It's got one of those.
Oh, really?
The swingy doors.
And honky tonk piano and women down the banister.
Women down the banister. Maybe that's why he was tied to the banister. But we don't know, is the point.
Okay.
We don't know where the women were. But yes.
Anyway, Alice and Neil, wrong-uns.
Yeah, wrong-uns.
Definitely. Right, back to the confessions that made the cut, and we join Tim for his confession. Splish splash, I was taking a bath.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession actually picks up from where you were with the quiz.
Oh, yes.
With the... On this day in history.
Yes.
1968.
Of course.
That's where we are with this particular story.
Wow. Well
which
done.
Comes from Tim. And it's, if you're eating,
Dear Father Simon and your very attractive and forgiving co-host. Oh.
Good word.
Nice.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to take you back, if I may, to the year of 1968. The year of the Euros.
Ken Rosewall.
Mm-hmm. All that. With Rod Laver. When I was a young whippersnapper of just 7 years of age, my name is Tim, and I live with my parents and my older brother, Andrew. The incident that I am seeking forgiveness for happened on a Monday night, which everyone of a certain age will know is bath night. You need to start the week clean, or else all decency is lost and civilization collapses. I'm not sure.
That is true. Yeah.
Overstating it a bit, maybe. Yeah. This particular night, after my mum had made sure that I was clean, I had my brand new Action Man to play with, now with realistic hair, is what it said on the box. He had a fast attack speedboat, although it was actually called an assault craft, and came with an outboard motor and two black paddles.
Ooh.
How about that? His mission was to destroy the German U-boat. Different times. But that's what all bath times were like in 1968. But he had to be careful because there was a plastic shark in the water and a large plastic duck, which was bigger than him. Now, I know this is obviously not realistic, but it was 1968, and back then, ducks were bigger than sharks.
Yes, they were.
After about 10 minutes of searching for the U-boat, that's a long time to look for a U-boat in the bath, and avoiding the shark, I had a sudden urge, as we said in 1968, to spend a penny.
Oh dear.
I think we all know.
I
didn't want to go in the bath, obviously. No. I was a seven-year-old with standards, but I also didn't want to get out of the bath, because Action Man might get eaten by the shark. And that would have been a very bad outcome. Your Action Man is someone to cherish and look after. You don't want him to be eaten by a shark. Think of the shame. You go to school, where's your Action Man? He's been eaten by a shark. Is that the Action Man now with real hair? Yes. Yes. Anyway, he's been eaten. So that's not good enough. So at that moment, I saw a nearly empty shampoo bottle.
Oh, no.
At the end of the bath. Herbal essences, it said.
Oh, remember them, yes.
Perfect, I thought. I can relieve myself in the bottle and dispose of it later. Of course, I forgot about that.
Of course
and left
you did.
It on the end of the bath. Oh. That is until the following evening when my father decided to have a bath.
Oh, no.
When he'd finished, he came downstairs and started moaning to my mother.
No.
About that useless bottle of shampoo. I couldn't get it to lather. And those herbs smell weird. Yes, she said, I bathed Andrew earlier and I couldn't get it to lather either. I won't buy those herbal essences again. Father Simon, I have kept this secret now for 58 years and feel it's time to confess my sin. I'd like to seek forgiveness from my father and older brother who had their hair washed with wee.
Okay, no, we've got that.
Also from my mother, I had to put up with all the moaning and she didn't know about it either. I would also like to add that I do believe I have been given divine judgment. As 58 years on, I am very follically challenged. Yet my brother and father, who is still going strong at 95, both have a full head of hair. Have I just stumbled on a miracle cure for baldness? Well, that was, you know, if karma was a thing and it worked, then maybe that was true. Anyway, now I'm not suggesting that is a good cure, that does work at all.
No, we don't know, do we?
No, it
does keep the foxes out of your garden, apparently, if you do it in the night. Anyway, it's a bath stories mostly end the same way. And this one certainly went there. But maybe he's justified because he has important work and he had to save his Action Man. Mm. What do you say, Suze?
Ugh, just get out of the bath and go for a wee. Like, I know he was seven, but the thing that I have an issue with it. With Tim on this is just tidy up after yourself. Why have you just left an empty shampoo bottle or not so empty shampoo bottle on the side?
Seven.
Just put it in the bin. Still, if you learn young,
yes,
then it'll stay with you for life, won't it? But disgusting, really. Not for me.
You would think if you washed your hair in that,
yes,
you instantly would go, that's not shampoo.
Mm.
That's
champagne.
That's what you'd say.
Oh,
champagne.
Very good.
Champagne. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive because I agree. You would have. We all smell the shampoo, surely, and you'd have known straight away that that's not what. And maybe it has had some effect on the old male pattern borderless. I mean, no clinical trials, but maybe they should try.
Yes.
Maybe no one's thought of that yet, and then we'll know 20 years down the line when we've all got massive heads of hair. Yeah. That was the reason why.
Backside, but maybe don't not. Be part of the experiment.
Probably not. So I'm going to forgive. Well done, Tim.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
So are you going to take part in the trial?
I've decided against having the pee on my hair trial. I decided maybe not. No. No amount of...
I think it's quite an interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea, isn't it? And wouldn't that be amazing if that was the reason and our confession podcast was right at the forefront of solving problem?
But the main thing it's useful, as I think I mentioned, is stopping foxes from attacking your garden.
Yes. Yeah. No, I've tried that. It didn't really work. Unless you've got
You went in the garden.
Well, you don't go in the garden.
You went in the shampoo bottle and poured it in the garden.
The process involved the jug and everything else. And then we don't use the jug again.
Going in the garden is actually better.
Well, no, we can't going in the garden. That's what happens in Surrey.
No, nakedness,
doesn't
it?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't think you should be throwing anything in the garden.
My particular street, thank you very much.
Isn't it like a bigger animal's wee? Isn't it like lion's wee?
Oh, human's wee, yeah.
I think it has to be male.
Yes, male
human's
wee.
What's wrong with female wee, Simon?
Ask the foxes. It's a fox thing.
Take it up with the foxes, Holly. Yeah, sisters. What's wrong with the foxes? Yeah.
Sisters?
Yeah. Why can't they? Well, if you want to try it, Ollie, be my guest. Not at my house.
That did sound like an invitation.
It did sound. But not,
anyway, there was a mixed reaction on the people's verdict. Nigel got in touch afterwards with a very good point. He says, "Hi, team. My wife, Julie, has quite rightly pointed out that in 1968, the toilet was almost certainly in a separate room from the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
So it wouldn't have been so simple to just get out of the bath."
Yes. No, that's a good point.
Historical point, that is.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, but anyway, so quite Nigel, right. Thank you very much indeed. I think we should send you something like a sticker if we had any,
if only.
We don't. Anyway, coming up, we're going to join Al. I thought it said AI, but it's not. It's Al and his family at the circus, where his mum is in a similar situation to Tim in the confession we called, "Oh, this is the greatest show." But first, it's Mick's confession. The stopping drives me mad.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Mick. Father Simon, Matt, Brother Matt, sisters Holly and Susie. My confession goes back to the innocent days of the early 60s. Spurs had just won the cup 2 years running.
Oh, yes.
So all was good with the world. So that's like 61, 62. Yes. That's where we are. Yeah. It was early June and time for the school's summer fete. And the highlight this year was the go-karts, which had been hired from the local speedway. I don't think this would happen.
Wow, that definitely would happen now.
The go-kart had been put up in the tennis courts at our school. It was converted by a lot of bales of hay, because that's all you need.
Safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fine.
Really My safe. Friend Jim and I only had a shilling each, which for Holly is 5p, which was the cost of one round of the go-karts. So we both had one go, and being two 12-year-old boys, we thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
We had never driven before, obviously, because this was 1963, and 12-year-olds were not allowed to do anything, which was totally unfair. Nowadays, we'd be TikToking and Snapchatting, but not in 1963, when we just had Etch-a-Sketch and Spirograph or Spinning Tops and the Beano and Bomb Sights.
Bomb sites. Yeah.
Anyway, having had one go on the go-karts, naturally we wanted another go. But the problem was we had no money. Not one farthing. Not one shilling. Not one halfpenny.
No, all of those.
We didn't have any money, basically.
No money.
And then I noticed that the school prefects, who gave out our tickets, just put them straight back into a school desk and didn't bother looking at them once they'd been used. Not much of an example, huh? So I had this devious idea that if I could get two of these tickets when no one was looking, then Jim and I could get on this ride for nothing. So I crept over to the desk that contained the tickets and nonchalantly lifted up the desk top. Ever so slightly, I reached in with two fingers and I borrowed two tickets. When I say they were borrowed, as hopefully I could put them back after the ride.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, I went back to Jim and gave him his ticket and suggested he went first. Jim's answer was, "You nicked them, you go first." What a coward, I thought. Anyway, so over I went, produced my ticket, and sure enough, the stupid prefects never even looked at it.
I was on. Fantastic. And I was bombing around, and a man with a camera was waving at me to slow down as I was clearly breaking whatever limit there was. But I was having too much fun. Get out of my way. I'm Fangio or Stirling Moss. Wind in my hair, rebellion in my heart. And then it happened. One of the wheels of my go-kart caught the wheel of someone else's go-kart.
Oh, no.
And before I knew it, I went straight through the tennis court fence. And the next thing I knew, I flew out of the go-kart and landed on the grass. My go-kart was last seen shooting off down the sports field, still going, causing parents and staff to dive for cover. Well, I remember now holding my knee with a lot of pain, and very soon an ambulance arrived, and then my parents arrived, and I was duly deposited in the ambulance and off to the local hospital. Apparently, I had a broken leg and a broken ankle.
Ouch.
Oh dear.
So, Father Simon, obviously I don't seek forgiveness for my stealing of the tickets from the prefects, as, let's be honest, they were pretty thick, but from the ambulance crew and the hospital nurses and the doctors, who ended up with dealing with a boy with a broken leg and a knee when they shouldn't have had to deal with that kind of thing. I have carried this burden for nearly 65 years, and the only people who know of my theft is Anne, my wife, and Jim, who's sadly no longer with us. But they say every cloud has a silver lining because I got 4 weeks off school and I missed the summer exams.
Hey!
So everything was fine. And because, of course, that's how you have to measure these things. Mick stole some tickets, got on the go-karts, so he got his comeuppance. Maybe he's suffered enough. Sister Susie will pronounce here.
Well, Mick, you got what's coming to you, really, didn't you? You shouldn't have stolen from the prefects. That's just, also, you were a bit rude to a prefect, and I was a prefect, so therefore I don't think
but
I agree
you would have been a better prefect.
Saying.
You wouldn't have just chucked
them
back in.
Yeah, I would have been a better prefect. I wouldn't have chucked it back in. There would have been a system with a stamp or something. It would have been very, very clear. But I do feel sorry for you. Broken ankle, broken leg doesn't sound great, but you shouldn't have stole the tickets, so therefore not forgiven.
1963, how do you create a go-kart track? You get the tennis court, yes, and put some hay in it. I'm sure that'll be fine. Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I'm going to forgive. As we've already put it, I mean, the system with the tickets, that was no system at all. You need to rip up the tickets. That's what they did with tickets, didn't it? They just put them in the desk. And the prefects were a bit thick, not like Sue's. Sue's wouldn't have been thick. Those prefects were very thick. And how did the go-kart keep going when it had gone through the fence? No one knows. Mystery. It should have
momentum
stopped. Well, no, because he's gone out, hadn't he? Broken his leg in his ankle and his knee, it turned out. So, very bad day for him all round, Mick. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Not quite sure what the reason is.
The reason, because of the leg and the system.
I see.
And the go-kart that was in a mind of its own.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession, which has a similar theme to yesterday, comes from Al. Thanks, Al. Yeah. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, Holy Holly and the Conclave of Clemency. My poor mum had a bad fall about 8 weeks ago and has been in hospital ever since, and it's fair to say that she's missing home and needs cheering up badly, so I'm writing to you to ask for help. The confession I am submitting is legendary in our household. So it's a confession on behalf of Mother.
Okay, yeah.
Mum was always telling us innocent lies for a bit of fun. The most persistent of which was her telling us that she was 21. It didn't matter how many years had passed, she was always 21. Yeah. Even now, she still jokes about being 21, though on the occasion of this confession, this innocent fib backfired on her. I was about 9 years old at the time, and my brother was 7. Our family didn't have much money and didn't have many outings, but one day the circus came to town, and my mum and auntie decided to treat me, my brother and our cousins all to the spectacle of the big top, and even pushed the boat out to get us all tickets for ringside seats. When we arrived at Aberdeen Beach, we were greeted with the awesome sight of the big top tent, flags fluttering in the breeze, the twinkling lights, the hustle and bustle of the gathering crowd, the sound of music emanating from the side stalls, and the smell of popcorn, candy floss, hot dogs and burgers moving on a bit then, and an undercurrent of circus animals all wafting through the air. Mum treated us all to hot dogs, candy floss and large bottles of juice. Mm. And by now we were all absolutely hyper and bouncing around and becoming uncontrollable. By the time the ringmaster came out, we were all a whooping and a cheering in anticipation, and so the show began. Oh, how we oohed and aahed as we watched the trapeze artists perform their death-defying aerial ballet. How we laughed at the slapstick comedy gold of the clowns with their rickety car. And then the next act came on. This was a large, beautiful white horse with an equally beautiful lady riding on its back. Ooh. The pair rode around the ring many times as the lady performed all kinds of acrobatics whilst balancing on the horse's back. We were all clapping and cheering whilst the lady brought the horse to a halt in the centre of the arena, and the ringmaster came out with a microphone in his hand and proceeded to ask if there were any daring young ladies in the audience who would like to come forward and join in with the act. Fueled by a sugar rush and a good dose of E-numbers, we then erupted from our seats, screaming and shouting to the ringmaster, "Over here, our mum! Our mum, she's 21! Over here, she's young! Look, she's 21! The ringmaster then marched over to the ringside and announced her over the tannoy. "Let's give it up for this daring young lady here," as the audience started clapping. Mum protested vociferously, but between the peer pressure from the audience and a bit of cajoling from the ringmaster and the look of pride and adoration from her children, she stepped over the barrier and walked over to the horse. Whilst the ringmaster continued to work the audience, a big burly man came out and proceeded to fit a safety harness onto Mum and then attach it to a safety rope which had descended from the heavens of the tent. With Mum now securely fastened, the acrobatic lady helped Mum onto the horse whilst the big burly man took up the slack on the safety rope. What could go wrong? Lady proceeded to lead the horse round the arena as Mum bounced along on its back, getting used to the sensation, speeding up from a walk to a trot to a canter. All was going well when the ringmaster asked Mum to now go from a seated position to kneeling position. White-faced with fear and gripping for all she was worth onto the horse's bridle and the safety rope, Mum did as she was asked and after a couple of laps of the ring, had managed to get onto her knees. This was pure entertainment for us, watching Mum being an unexpected star of the show. Oh, we were cheering at the top of our lungs when the ringmaster then asked her to stand up on the horse's back. Now, none of us have ever been entirely sure what happened next, Father Simon. Whether Mum had started to fall from the horse or if it was an actual part of the act, we'll never know. But the big burly man suddenly yanked hard on the safety rope and launched Mum straight up into the air, spinning her round high above the ring. Unfortunately, the yanking of the safety rope had pulled the safety harness tight around her abdomen, squeezing her bladder the same time, making her instantly regret drinking a large bottle of juice just an hour previously. Mum's imagine where she is. Mum's face turned from white to a bright shade of red. As her light grey trousers took on a dark shade of grey. And streams of fluid poured forth and fell to the ground in an elegant spiral pattern. Yeah.
Nice.
There were roars of laughter from the audience, and after a few humiliating aerial laps of the ring, the big burly man realised what was happening and gently lowered Mum back to the ground, where she landed and watched her dignity soak into the sawdust floor. Mum was then swiftly escorted backstage, where she was cleaned up as best they could and returned to a big round of applause from the crowd when she retook her seat. So I ask for forgiveness on behalf of me and my brother for putting our mum forward into participating in a circus act, which resulted in her becoming the highlight of the show. Yours respectfully. That's from Al. Well, hopefully that's cheered your mum up, Al. It's cheered everyone else up. What a story. There is danger in just drinking too much before the circus. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Oh, Alex has really made me laugh, that one. What's that circus doing? What's the ringmaster doing? Who can stand on a horse? Can you stand on a horse?
Yeah, anyone can stand on a horse with a rope.
I just think that's just absolutely demanding far too much. And also a few aerial laps. They need to realise what was going on a bit sooner. I love Al's mum and I'm with her. Mums are allowed little fibs. I'm going to forgive her.
Brother Matthew.
That is super. I'm going to forgive. I can't believe she came back in. I don't think I'd have come back in. Hey, everyone, remember
she had
me?
To get her children.
I was the one with the grey trousers. I'm going to definitely forgive. That was the best one we've done for a while, I think. Very, very funny.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
So you would have gone home?
I'm not going back in the big top after that.
You'd
I don't think there's any coming back.
In
there's
the big top. No,
yeah, I would have absolutely. Yeah, those the ones who put me on the horse. So I'd have definitely abandoned them. Best of luck with the circus, kids, because I'm off with my damp trousers.
Yeah, well, that would have been a bad thing.
It would have been, wouldn't it? But then you'd get them home and be able to dry
them. Maybe she got some like clown's trousers or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes.
Because that would have been better.
The ones with the braces.
Yeah, go, I mean, Clown's outfit rather than...
Yeah. Good thinking.
There's a lot of wee in the podcast this week.
There's too much wee, sorry, in my opinion. Anyway,
that's it. So if you've got a tale to tell, please send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. I'm sure there are some other circus confessions.
Yes.
That sounds very good. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is women on the banister. Women on the banister is the code phrase for this week.
If you made it this far, you can post that on Threads or Blue Sky on Instagram. Matt's on the Filth channel.
Yes.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget to share the podcast with a shower in a friend or something like that. Back next week.
Move on.
Another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from Sister Susie.
Bye-bye.
Sister Holly.
Brother Matt. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye. We're out of time.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.